Chapter 24. Bell explained the situation to Sheriff Henry Pardee and the bank manager, Murray Oxnard. The three men sat around a table eating a breakfast served by the sheriff's wife. Pardee's house sat directly behind his office and the jail. He walked to the door, made sure it was locked, and drew the curtains so nobody could see inside. Bell was impressed with the sheriff. One wall of the parlor had bookshelves from floor to ceiling, stacked with works by Shakespeare, Plato, Voltaire, Bacon, and Emerson, along with several volumes in Latin. Bell had never met a peace officer in a small town who was so well-read. Pardee ran a hand through a thick mane of graying hair and tugged at a shaggy mustache.
"What you're saying, Mr. Bell, is that you think the Butcher Bandit is going to hit our town bank."
"I can't say for certain," Bell replied. "But if he's true to form, he'll be lured by the large payroll that is being shipped to the bank from the First National Bank of Denver."
"I know of no such payroll shipment," said Murray Oxnard.
He was a tall, quiet man with broad shoulders and narrow hips. He seldom smiled, and his face was always fixed with a dour expression.
"There is no shipment," explained Bell. "It is a ruse to smoke out the bandit."
Pardee rapped the fingers of one hand on the table.
"If he is as smart as I've read, he'll dig into the true facts and find it's all a sham."
Bell shook his head. "No, sir. The directors of the bank in Denver are primed to go along with the story."
"If I may ask," said Pardee, "why did you choose Telluride?"
"Because you sit in a box canyon with its only entrance and exit to the west. The situation that makes it ideal to block off his escape route if we don't apprehend him during the attempted robbery."
"I don't like it," said Oxnard. "The bandit is known to murder without batting an eye. I cannot put my employees at risk, nor will I have their blood on my hands."
"I do not intend to have you or your people in the bank when and if the robbery occurs. Myself and one other Van Dorn agent will man the bank. Another agent will watch the trains coming in and out, since the bandit is known to escape his crimes by using a railroad freight car."
"What about my customers?" Oxnard pressed on. "Who will tend to their transactions?"
"My agent and I are fully experienced in running the daily affairs of a bank. If the bandit steps up to a teller's cage, we'll be ready for him."
"Do you know what he looks like?" asked Pardee.
"Except for the fact we know he's missing the little finger on his left hand and he has red hair, we have no description."
"That's because he murders everyone who can identify him. You don't have much to go on."
"I still cannot bring myself to go along with this," said Oxnard. "One of my customers could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and get shot."
"We'll take every precaution," said Bell soberly. "There may be some risk, but this bandit must be stopped. He's already killed over 30 people. There's no telling how many more will die before we can apprehend him and stop the murders."
"What can I do to help?" Pardee said, giving Oxnard a cold stare.
"Don't patrol the bank with your deputies and scare off the bandit," answered Bell. "Stand by, out of sight if possible, but be ready to act in case he shows up. We'll arrange a signal when he makes his play."
Though Oxnard had his demons about the trap, Pardee was already imagining the notoriety he would receive if the bandit were caught in the act under his jurisdiction. As far as he was concerned, the debate was decisive, and now it was over. He had only one more question. "When is the supposed money shipment due?"
"Tomorrow," Bell told him.
Oxnard looked at him inquiringly.
"What about the shipment that's already sitting in the safe for the real payroll?"
"Leave it in the safe. I guarantee the bandit won't get it."
Pardee twisted the ends of his mustache. "Ever been in a mining town on payday, Mr. Bell?" I haven't had the luxury, but I hear it can get pretty wild.
That's true, said Oxnard with a faint grin.
Every payday, all hell breaks loose from one end of town to the other. Pardee matched his grin. Yes, the cribs will be busy until the miners have wasted their hard-earned money on whiskey and gambling. He paused a moment and looked at Bell. Where are you staying in case I have to get in touch with you?
I'm staying at Mamie Tubbs' boarding house.
A good place to keep a low profile, said Oxnard. Mamie's a fine old gal and a good cook.
I can vouch for her stew, Bell said with humor.
After breakfast, the meeting broke up. Bell and Oxnard thanked Mrs. Pardee for a fine breakfast. Then the three men stepped outside and walked toward town, Pardee leaving them when he got to his office in jail. Bell went with Oxnard to the bank to study its interior layout. The floor plan was the same as 1,000 other banks. The bank manager's office sat behind the teller's cage, which was enclosed in glass except for the area in front of the cash drawers. This section of the counter was open through narrow bars. The vault was more like a large safe and stood in an alcove off to the side of the lobby. Bell learned that it was closed during business hours and opened only to withdraw currency or when all cash and coins were returned after closing.
You don't have a vault? Bell said to Oxnard.
Don't need one. Payroll money usually goes up to the mines under heavy guard the second day after the shipment comes in.
Why the second day?
We need the time to make a count to verify the amount shipped from the bank in Denver.
So the bandit has a limited window of opportunity.
Oxnard nodded. If he's going to make his play, it will have to be tomorrow.
Have you seen or had contact with any new depositors or people who simply walked into the bank and then walked out again?
A new superintendent for the Liberty Bell Mine opened a checking account.
He paused to gaze up at the ceiling in thought.
Then there was a very attractive woman who opened an account. A very small account. Very sad.
Sad?
Her husband left her back in Iowa to strike it rich in Colorado. She never heard from him again, and the last thing she learned was from a friend, a conductor on the railroad. He told her that her husband left word he was going to Telluride to work in the mines. She came here in an attempt to find him.
Poor soul.
Chances are he was one of the many men who died in the mines.
I'd like the name of the mine superintendent, said Bell, so I can check him out.
I'll get it for you.
Oxnard went into his office and returned in less than a minute.
His name is Oscar Reynolds.
Thank you.
Oxnard stared at Bell.
Aren't you going to check out the woman?
The bandit has never worked with a woman, or any man for that matter. He always commits his crimes alone.
Just as well, Oxnard sighed.
Poor thing.
She only opened an account for $2.
In order to eat, she'll probably have to work in a bordello, since jobs for women are scarce in Telluride. And those jobs that do exist are filled by the wives of the miners.
Just to play safe, I'd like her name, too.
Rachel Jordan.
Bell laughed softly.
Her, you remembered.
Oxnard smiled.
It's easy to remember a name with a pretty face.
Did she say where she was staying?
No, but I can only assume it's in a crib.
He gave Bell a sly look.
You going to look her up?
No, said Bell thoughtfully. I hardly think a woman is the butcher bandit.